Need a fun summer read? The Sweeney Sisters by Leanne Dolan is out in paperback now.
Leanne Dolan? I hear she's great. In fact, bestselling author Susan Wiggs calls The Sweeney Sisters, quote, a story to savor and share. But we call it, quote, a thinly veiled tale of our childhood.
Judge for yourselves. The Sweeney Sisters is available in paperback and all formats at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your indie bookstore.
You know, Jewel, it would also make a great hostess gift for everyone you're visiting this summer.
Mm. You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Great to be with you today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer and producer, and I'm excited for this show. We have a lot of good information you're passing along. A lot.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica. I think information is a very strong word for what we have today.
Okay.
We have some material. I'd call it material, Leanne.
So, thank you, Liz. Yeah,
I'm here in my second bedroom in Santa Monica, the Satellite Sisters, you know, Mud Bath Productions, Semi HQ. I'm good. Julie, how about you?
Well, hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister. I'm in Dallas, Texas. And you know what? I have some information for you. It's my birthday today.
Happy
how about
birthday.
That? It's a minor birthday, but I could not be happier to be celebrating it with you sisters and with the Satellite Sisterhood. So let's get this party going.
Okay.
All right. Woo. All right, Jill, that's the way to start it. Well, we did take a little break last week over the 4th of July holiday. But Julie, you apparently had an encounter with a badger. Is that correct?
No. A bear, a wolf, and a magpie.
Okay.
Details coming up.
Okay.
See, that's the kind of information we don't have, the badger information.
Okay.
Were you not paying attention in the production meeting, Lance?
I wasn't. I knew there was some animal with a diphthong in the middle, and I went with badger instead of magpie. Okay. Well, I have a lot of information about beauty or beauty needs, because I know that's top of mind, Liz, Julie, for both of you. What am I doing with my French manicure this season?
Oh, yeah.
How am I going to handle essential oils as I head into the fall? What is going to give me confidence to show my legs? And I'm guessing it's not going to be jean shorts, okay? And that, I don't know why that's even on the list, but stay tuned. I have that. Liz, you have a Cooking with Liz update, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'll be doing it again this Thursday, live at 5 in our Facebook group. But there was a near fiasco last week, but saved it at the last minute.
Okay, and we have a couple of other lighter news stories and entertaining sisters. I think that's fair to say. Lighter news stories and some entertaining sisters. All right, but first, Jill, let's hear about the magpie.
Okay. Well, I spent a week in the woods on our vacation holiday week. I was up in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And, you know, when I'm up there with my husband and my dog, we love to hike. We love to walk and hike. That's our number one activity. So, but we're also, I'm always looking for animals, checking, monitoring, because I've had some close encounters with animals in the past. Longtime Satellite Sisters know that, you know, there we had some bears, a mama bear and three baby bears visit my house in Steamboat Springs.
There was video of that. We had video of that.
There was screaming. There was a 911 call. Yes, it was very dramatic. Well, I'm happy to say that I saw another bear on this trip. Early in the morning, my husband and I were walking with our dog. Oliver was on a leash. We saw a big 300-pound bear, okay?
Wow.
But here's the news. I have sort of evolved as a bear sighter or, you know, being in the woods. We knew exactly what to do. We pulled back slowly. The bear did not really seem us, seemed much more interested in a lot of the garbage cans, because it was a garbage day in Steamboat, so... The bear.
Poor bear.
The bears have the calendar.
I know. Yeah. They were just going for some pizza. But there was another gentleman that was walking, and he was in the middle of a Zoom call, okay? He had his earphones in. He was on a Zoom call, and he is marching right into the bear, okay? So I saved this man from death, surely, by waving him off. But, here's the thing. When he saw that giant bear, you know what he did? He wanted to take a picture of it, okay? Stop and take a picture, okay? I don't have all the bear facts for you here this morning, sisters. But when you see a bear, do not stop and take its picture, okay? Just
keep moving. How close was he?
I probably 20 feet, Lee.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes, too close.
Yes. Don't stop then. Bear. Yes, no. Move back. Move back, okay? So I feel pretty good that we saved his life, but that's just another thing. I don't know, the Zoom calls in the middle of the woods, you really do need to have some situational awareness. That's true. Okay.
That's true.
Number two, speaking of situational awareness, later in the week, we went to hike in a beautiful area called the Flat Tops Wilderness Area. We did some hiking and it was great. But on our way out, we saw a gray wolf.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
First, I have never seen a wolf. Have you ever seen a wolf? In the wild?
No.
This was, at first I thought, is that just some really big, fast dog that's jumping around? But no, it was a gray wolf because I did a little research. I went to timberwolfinformation.org, and I know, Liz, this will be in the show notes, but wild wolves are coming back to Colorado, okay? The state just voted to create a plan to reintroduce gray wolves by 2023. In much the same way that they've done in Montana and Idaho and Wyoming. But there are reports that wolves are in this Flat Tops area even before they've started this gray wolf program. So
that's exciting.
Did you call 911?
I did not call. I did not scream.
Yeah.
Did you take its picture?
No, yeah. I did not take its picture. No. And, I don't know how I feel. The whole issue of reintroducing wolves, I don't know. I'm still learning about that. I'm spending some time informing myself. So don't ask any follow-up questions how I feel about gray wolves in the Flat Tops area. It seems a little dangerous to me. And they
is it more dangerous than a bear? I don't know.
I don't know. It's up there. Okay, but you know what? It's the most dangerous, magpies. Okay,
yeah, they're.
Do you know about magpies? I mean,
no.
Yes.
All right, Liz. Okay, here's the thing about magpies. They build nests sometimes in very public place, up high. They build nests, and then it's the job of the magpies to protect their babies in their nest. So you know what they do, Liz? They swoop down and they attack you when you walk.
Oh, it's a dive bomb situation.
I mean, it is crazy. There was, at first, my husband said, "You're making it up. You're making it up." I said, "No, I am not making it up." Every time we walked by this one spot near the ski area, a magpie would swoop down. He was going after me. He saw me as his mortal enemy.
Yeah.
He was just, Leon, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They do this to protect their nest, and and they call this swooping, and there's about a 6-week period of swoop. The magpies are swooping as they protect that, but they don't swoop after everyone. They seem to identify who it is, is going to really disrupt the nest. So again, did a little research. Apparently magpies are a giant problem in Australia, Liz. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a whole swooping season. They put up public signs. Do not walk here. You're going to get swooped. So they have some tips, and I wanted to pass those on. Just a quick, few quick tips.
See, here's some information.
Okay. This did not get pitched in the production meeting that we were having magpie tips. So, okay.
Okay. First, travel in groups. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Carry an umbrella. If I had an umbrella, I would have put it up because I was screaming when that magpie kept swooping after me. Wear sunglasses. This is very important. Do not establish eye contact with a magpie. Okay. It says, of course, to walk, don't run, and of course, don't scream. Both of what of which I was doing when this magpie kept swooping after. Okay, and don't act aggressive. When they see you running, they really think they need to kill you. They need to
run.
Okay.
Okay.
And then ultimately, they tell you to take a different route. And that's...
Okay. See, I think you need wolves. I think you need the wolves there in Colorado to take care of these magpies.
Okay. So that's my...
Okay. I'm just going to say, don't establish eye contact. Probably applies to the bears, the wolves, and the magpies.
Okay. The umbrella, though, that is unique to the magpie. I don't think that's going to help you with a bear or a wolf. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Just a tip. Okay. There you have it, sisters.
Good information.
A wolf and a magpie.
Wow. Another death-defying vacation. Good for you, Jewel. And life-saving. Okay. Congrats. Well, I just have a quick report. You know, since I broke my leg at the beginning of the year, I've been reporting in on my hashtag little victories because it's a slow but steady recovery. It's all taking a while, but last week's hashtag little victory was I attended my first deep water aerobics class and it was sublime.
That's great.
Okay, Liz. Good.
Oh my God. It was so amazing. I'm so lucky that we have a big, huge, beautiful public pool here in Santa Monica that has classes like that. I could get in, I could get out. It was delightful. And you know what? Everyone was so happy to be there because it's only just been reinstated for a larger group. So everyone was just smiling the whole time, like, oh, this is fun. So that's the good news. Then the other hashtag little victory that I wanted to just test this concept with both of you, but particularly with you, Julie, because as you've established, you are a hiker.
Yes.
You know, I'm down to one crutch now. The idea is no crutches, obviously. Haven't been able to get there. So what's my transitional piece of equipment? Do I need a transitional equipment choice between the one crutch and the no crutch? And I'm just not that keen on the cane as my transition. So I'm
just so excited to hear what you're going to say, Liz, because I think I know what it's going to be. Okay.
I bought some hiking sticks. Oh. I thought, okay, I went to REI on Saturday, and mainly when you go to REI, you're like getting ready for an adventure, you know, but for me, going to REI is the adventure. That's an ambitious thing for me to pull. But I went and I thought, like, really what I need is just something to help me balance a little bit. It's not like I'm leaning on them too much. So like the Nordic walking sticks or the hiking sticks we used when we were hiking in Argentina.
Yes.
So what do you think of that as a choice?
I think it is exceptional, Liz, you know? I mean, and you right there in Santa Monica, you're going to be out there every day with your Nordic walking sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw you in Argentina when we were in Patagonia. You're very good with them. Mm-hmm. And you just look like, you look like you're always on some big adventure. Maybe did you get yourself a hat too, maybe, to wear with the sticks?
Hat, sunglasses, umbrella, the whole thing. I'm going for it.
Okay.
So I tried out the hiking sticks in front of, you know, I've mentioned Sage. She's my helper in occupational therapy that comes in on the weekends. I'm like, Sage, what do you think of this as a strategy? And I like hiked around my, you know, dining room for a little bit with the sticks. She was skeptical, frankly. She's like, I think you should test that theory with your physical therapist. Bring the sticks in. And I wouldn't want to give you permission to do that. So I'm going to do that. But I've got the hiking sticks. I'm ready to go. I think that's my next move. And I personally am feeling good about it. Maybe it's just an image thing, you know, because it feels better than a cane, but whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a good look, Liz. And people are just going to be very curious. Where are you just back from? Did you just walk across the country? You know, are you, coming up? You know, that, I think it's good.
Okay. Well, on a related note, I want to say that because I've done maybe too much talking about this since the beginning of the year, within the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, there was quite a little, I'll just call it the ortho corner. There's quite a lot of orthopedic content being posted by sisters and misters. Like Marianne last week, she posted a photo of herself. She had a tibial fracture that was caused at the dog park, sisters, run over by two dogs, including her own. That looked bad.
Oh, Robin, wow.
Yeah, that looked really bad. Robin broke her toe when a glass jar of Trader Joe's Bloody Mary salsa fell out of the refrigerator.
Oh, ouch. That hurts so much.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. And Mitzi, Julie, you will appreciate this one, broke both wrists and had to have surgery. And so she posted a photo. A coworker had sent her a shirt that said, "I do my own stunts." So of course, everyone in the group got a big laugh about that. But here's what I just want to say. Like, is this a rash of orthopedic freak accidents? Or are we just not paying attention, people? Have we just lost our focus? So I think that we all need to sort of adopt a no fiascos approach to 2021. I think we need to pay more attention. I think we need to maintain focus. Because I don't want the ortho corner to keep expanding. Though, of course, it is a good place to come seek solace and reinforcement and lots of other pictures of funny t-shirts. You know, so I'm not discouraging people from posting your orthopedic freak accidents. I'm just concerned that there might be too many of these. I think we need to up our game, people, in 2021. So no fiascos. Just think about that. Maintain focus. That's all.
Excellent advice. See, okay, there's some information and advice. Check. Okay, we're killing it today. I'm killing it. Well, I just wanted to give a quick update on my investment club because someone in the Facebook group asked about it. And remember about 2.5 years ago, I told you I was joining an investment club. It's all women in the club. It's about 28 of us. Some of us have business experience that is relevant in the financial world. Most of us didn't know a whole lot about picking specific stocks. So the whole idea was that together we would learn how to evaluate a company, we would commit, we would present stocks, and then we would vote and we would buy them if people wanted to buy them and not buy them if we didn't. So it's a really complicated process, as it should be, because you're committing other people, your money and other people's money. And it's been pretty fascinating. But I can tell you this. So this month, I'm on the stock team that has to research a stock and then present it to the group. And then we vote to see if we're going to buy it. I'm grateful that I'm on a stock team with several people who own very large businesses that you would have heard of. So they know
how
to
read. The lead? Are you just sort of drafting on?
I am, Jill. I am. I mean, my areas of expertise are relatively small in this group. But here's the thing I've learned about investing. And, you know, Julia and Liz, I don't know if you do individual investing or not, but I'm just a lot more comfortable investing in companies I know. Like, I have a hard time, you know, saying we should go find something in the clean energy sector, you know, which we need to diversify our portfolio. And then the next thing you know, I'm like Googling clean energy sector. It seems like it. And then they're describing clean energy processes that I don't know how to evaluate this. And of course, every company.
I think that's why I think you're doing some wise investing there. Like, don't invest in things you don't know what it does. Yeah.
I don't know what it does. And of course, their company website looks fantastic. I mean, they're not going to make their company look terrible. And so then I go back to, well, maybe TJ Maxx. Maybe we should do TJ Maxx. I'm just comfortable.
Because mom liked TJ Maxx.
Yes.
Well, that's something, Leon.
Yeah. So this particular time, there are two stock groups investing, examining stocks, and we both pick streaming services, which is unusual. We don't usually pick from the same category. So we are pitching competing streaming services. So it could get very lively, but we're all set. But here's the number one thing I've learned from my investment club, and it's this: how to do a PowerPoint.
Good, Leon.
30 years. In business, have we ever done a PowerPoint for Satellite Sisters? Have we ever gone into a business meeting, Liz, that needed, quote, a deck? Have we?
We're in the audio business, Lee, and we've really depended on the power of audio.
I mean,
did do that nice PowerPoint for the big, Zoom event that we had.
Yes.
That was delightful.
Yes. And that was some of my skills that I learned in the stock club. So I have gained skills. It's mainly PowerPoint is what I've gained. So that's it. But I do enjoy it. And as most activities that include large groups of women, I have enjoyed getting to know the women more than getting to know clean energy companies. You know, I mean, it's been fun for me because it's a group of 28 women, like 27 of whom I did not know before. I only knew one other person in the club. And so it's a completely different set of people, and they bring a lot of different professional experiences from, you know, marketing and lawyers and finance people and people who are CEOs and run nonprofits and things like that. So that's been a lot of fun to participate in. Good. That and learning the PowerPoint. And of course,
you better make it pretty good if there are 27 people in the group.
What's that?
You better make your PowerPoint deck pretty good if there are 27 people in the group.
Jule, I'm pretty good at it now, okay. I have to say. I mean, so it's looking good. And you know, I know how to edit and do a rundown. So the presentation, I'm strong at. Yeah. I literally have to look up the financial terms every single meeting. Like, okay, remind me again of what a PE ratio is. You know?
Yeah.
Yes. Every meeting. I don't retain a lot of that. PowerPoint's going to look great. So that's it. But it's been a lot of fun, we have to say. And the stock market's been doing well. So collectively, we've been doing well.
That's good.
We hit a couple of high flyers. Like, again, Chipotle, because we're all moms and our people like Chipotle.
That is a keen market insight, Leon.
It is. I mean,
if you have sons that eat a lot of Chipotle, that's all you need to know.
I feel like it's as good a metric as any, Liz. Okay.
You're not wrong.
I know. I know.
Okay. All right. Well, we mentioned earlier in the show that that Cooking with Liz, you know, it's back for July every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's the summer of snacks. And so I've been doing a series of snacks. Last week, Julie, I know you were there live. It was fun, yes. Right?
Yes. It was very fun and very dramatic, Liz. Okay. I was doing a lot of screaming into my phone.
See, this is what makes Cooking with Liz fun, is that because it's live in real time, while I'm cooking and making my mistakes, everyone is posting, wait, stop, you know, they're correcting me IRL in real time, which I enjoy when every once in a while when I look up and I see all the warnings, you know, so that is what makes it dramatic. So I made, the main snack was pea pesto on crostini. And it was delish. And I thought that was going to be the tricky part. Well, no, the drama came with the cocktail. I was making the cocktail you recommended, Julie, which is just ranch water, Texas ranch water.
It's not just ranch water. It's ranch water, Liz.
Okay, well, how hard could that be, right? It's basically tequila and lime. And a special brand of carbonated mineral water called Topo Chico, and which I had never bought or seen or tasted. Anyway, so I go to all the trouble. I get out my lime squeezer, so that's all very official. I'm measuring out the tequila, so that's really good. I've got the cubes. I get it all done, and then I go to move on to my next step, like to assemble all of my dishes. And I realize in a drink called ranch water, I did almost forget to put in the water. But then I looked up and everyone in the Facebook group was just like in all caps, water, 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 which obviously I would have realized. I would have realized once I tasted it that I had forgotten the water, and the water was right there. But yeah, it is true that I almost made a drink called ranch water without the water. But this is what I mean about losing focus. You know, it goes back to the earlier...
It's very dramatic, Liam.
Wow.
Anyway, saved it. So this Thursday, I am making, this is a more ambitious snack. I'm making bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers, which I love, but I've never made them. And it's a little more complicated than the other things I've been doing during the summer of snacks. And so I'm going to have to do... Some of the prep will be done well before I go live at 5 o'clock. But at 5 o'clock, you will see me finishing up the jalapeno poppers. And then as a cocktail, I'm going to make a paloma. which is grapefruit juice and tequila, because I bought all the George Clooney tequila last week. I bought a whole bottle of the Clooney. And so I'm trying to use up the tequila by peddling that in the Paloma. So that's what I'm doing this Thursday. It's going to require some advanced work, but I think that's going to be a tasty combo, the Poppers and Paloma.
Yeah. Okay, Liz, say one more time where people can see this, because as it was about to go live, people were frantically posting, where is this? It is on our Facebook group page, correct?
Yes, yes. In the Facebook group, which means you have to be a member of the Facebook group.
Right.
You know, which is easy to do. You just apply and we approve you. There are a couple of little questions you have to answer. We don't sell any of your data. So you have, if you're a member of the group, then you just log in at 5 o'clock and it will come up. It will be live as long as you're inside the group. I also post the finished show the next day in the Satellite Sisters Instagram feed, but then you're not live. It's not quite as interactive, but you'll be able to see it there. But yes, in the Facebook, Satellite Sisters Facebook group, which is highly interactive, wouldn't you say, Jewel?
Very.
Yes. So that's where you can see it.
Okay. All right. So that's Thursday at 5 Pacific.
5 Pacific. Exactly.
Thursday at 5 Pacific. Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. One way to keep up with everything that's going on is to subscribe to Pep Talk. That's our weekly newsletter. So you can head on over to satellitesisters.com and a sign up window will pop up when you go over there. And we try to put everything in there. And we took last week off of Pep Talk, but we'll have one this week. And Liz, we can put your recipe links and things like that. So
yes,
curious,
okay.
We can do that in this week's Pep Talk. All right. We're going to come back with more information. So stay with us. But first, we need to thank a couple of sponsors.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, we're back. Jewel, it's your birthday, as we mentioned, and you're bringing in a huge news story.
Because, you know, I was on vacation, wasn't really reading much news. I come back, I turn back on, you know, my computer to see the news. Headline. Generation Z is killing email. Okay. They decided to kill email while I was on vacation. Okay. All right. All right. Let's review. Generation Z, not millennials. Generation Z are people that are born between 1997 and 2012. That mm-hmm. seems impossible to me, the birthday girl, that could be your date of birth, but whatever. Okay. Whatever. Okay. So apparently, big story in the New York Times about this, that Gen Z, they interviewed several people in that generation that are working. These aren't people just lying home on the couch, okay? These people have real jobs, work in real companies. One Gen Z said, every time I get an email, it's like getting stabbed. It's another thing to do. Okay. They describe email as an eternal chore. One woman wrote, it brought me to tears. Okay. Adam Simmons, who's 24, he said, I'll do literally anything but email. Okay. Email is a stressor. It's a negative way of life. And Gen Z has had it. They're not going to do it. Okay. They would prefer any Instagram, text, Zoom. They don't want full sentences, you know, no punctuation. Okay.
No bullet points, not interested in bullet points.
No, they don't want bullet points. I don't really think they're going to want your deck either. PowerPoint right behind this. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is, they're just, it's just a big stressor. That's the main thing. Deloitte, a big consulting firm, they said 46% of Gen Zs are stressed when they see email in their inbox. They can't handle it. They want out. Okay. So they're not going to do it. Now, people have been trying to, Liz, you know this, people have been trying to get rid of email for a long time. It's like the paperless office that we were supposed to get when email came in the early 2000s, okay? So that hasn't really happened, but do you really think that this generation can kill email?
Well, I mean, here's my thing. And like, there's no doubt that email is terrible. I think we all agree. Like, email is a drag. The problem is all of the alternatives to email, like, okay, now I'm getting DMs in my Instagram or Twitter or Facebook message, or there's something in the Slack channel. So I can't find any of those things after the fact. When I go to like, oh, somebody sent me a message about it. Now I have to look in six places instead of searching my email. I'm sorry. That's what makes email better for me, is that I can remember where it is and not spend so much time on these other platforms. So all these youngins, like, I get it, but how do you track down the messages you got 3 weeks ago from your boss or your client if they're not all consolidated somewhere? That's all. I just have a question. Is Gen Z the same generation that killed voicemail? Or is that millennials?
Millennials may have been, but Gen Z is working on getting rid of email, cash, malls, football, and print magazines. Okay. That's their top agenda. Okay. If you like any of those things, okay, you're out, because this group is doing it. Now, Leon, I know you've been working so hard over there to learn PowerPoint. And
I mean,
what do you think?
Well, my kids are Gen Z, right? So this is my kids' generation. And yeah, I'm with Liz. I don't know how you organize your work life if you just don't have one repository for everything. That being said, I think the older generations, a little less with the reply all, you know,
and
a little bit shorter email, and like really keep it tight. And, you know, I think we need to teach Gen Z that there is a value to having all your work information in one place. I don't know how you go back and find that phone number someone sent you 4 weeks ago in a Slack channel. That is highly inefficient. So I want, like, if email is so stressful, like, that is work. Work is email.
Mm-hmm.
That is your work. It's not.
The stress is not going to go away.
No.
It's because you changed the channel.
Right. Right. You know, it's more stressful. Trying to find the Zoom invite in your, you know, in your Facebook DM sounds much more stressful to me than going to your email folder. But
I also think that writing is thinking. And so that if you take the time to write an email, there's a little more thought in it than just responding, via some faster method.
So, it is a way to organize your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, again, as long
as you overrated.
Hit reply all. Right.
Okay. And we are going to save this segment because surely in a very short time, we are going to be mocked because we were trying to defend.
Save email.
Okay, save email. That is going to be a good looking t-shirt. Okay.
Defund email. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I just have one quick story here, which really is more of a question, which is, what is happening, Minnesota? Now, we feel very close to Minnesota. We have many, many loyal listeners in Minnesota. The state of Minnesota is actually the number two state for all Satellite Sisters listeners. It's California, Minnesota, then New York, and a bunch of others. So we love you, Minnesota. This is not personal, but what is up with you and the football-sized goldfish that are taking over? Okay, so this
what are you talking about?
Okay, well, Julie, apparently you missed the fact that last week, officials in Burnsville, which is a city 15 miles south of Minneapolis, sent out a tweet asking people, please don't release your pet goldfish into ponds and lakes. They grow bigger than you think and contribute to poor water quality by mucking up the bottom sediments and uprooting plants. So apparently people were thinking they were doing the sort of humane or kind thing when they wanted to get rid of their goldfish by just taking them to a lake and putting them in. But I just assumed like goldfish just automatically die anyway of natural causes in a bowl at home within a month. So the idea that these goldfish are being put back in the wild and they are not only surviving, they are thriving and growing to these huge sizes is pretty unbelievable to me, because wouldn't you have thought that they just, so last year this is in the county there, workers removed an estimated 50,000 fish in one day.
Wow.
So, no, that is, is it fact checking on that? Is that right?
This is in the Washington Post, Julie. Okay. I'm reading from the Washington Post.
All right.
This is not some BuzzFeed list of states with the most football-sized goldfish. This is an actual report, which is why, doesn't that prompt the question, what is up, Minnesota? So apparently this is true, that the goldfish can like live for up to 25 years, weigh as much as 4 pounds,
whoa,
and measure over a foot long. Here's another factoid. They can survive in severe conditions and can weather winters in bodies of water that have frozen over, living for months without oxygen. I can understand why you didn't know this, Minnesota, because who would have guessed that? But now that we know this, please keep your goldfish to yourself. That's all I got to say. That's, you know, forget about the timber wolves. What if the goldfish take over? What is the steps, Julie, for protecting ourselves from goldfish? Football-sized goldfish. I'll post the photo in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group so you can see what I'm talking about. This is a menace, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention, Minnesota, in case you hadn't seen it.
All right.
Well, we had a family goldfish situation. I always, you know, the kids would win them at the school fairs, right?
Yes, right.
And I've had goldfish for a long time. I had goldfish all through college. I just kept them in a bowl, but I cleaned the bowl out and I didn't overfeed the fish. And that's the secret to keeping a goldfish alive. But I had also heard that if the goldfish grow to the size of their environment. Now, again, I'm not a biologist, so please weigh in. I'm sure someone is. So
please,
that's why the goldfish
in
the bowl stays small, because you're just allowing them this tiny little bowl. So we had this school fair goldfish for about 4 years. I kept it alive on the kitchen counter. And at the time, Colin was doing a lot of house sitting for a neighbor. I'm just going to say a neighbor who had a little koi pond, a fish pond in the backyard. And part of his job included feeding the fish. So after 4 years of cleaning that tiny bowl, I said, why don't we release Goldie into the neighbor's fish pond and see how that goes? And it was a science experiment. We thought was a good idea because I was tired of cleaning the bowl. So we released Goldie into the fish pond. And at first the other fish were very suspicious of Goldie. So Goldie would sit on one side of the pond and the other fish in their school would just watch Goldie. Mm-hmm. And they were much bigger fish. So
those were carp, right?
They were orange fish. I don't know what those
were. That's what biologists call them.
Woo, this show is amazing.
So long story short, after a couple of weeks, the fish integrated Goldie into their school. Nice. She was so happy. They were all together and it was great. And then our neighbor came home and poured the wrong solution into the fish pond and killed every fish in the pond. So after 4 years,
four years of
captivity in that goldfish bowl, she had finally like found her people and it was short-lived. So
Well, she should have told the company that was doing a lot of work in this story in the Washington Post is called Carp Solutions, which I think is just a hilarious name for a business. So the neighbor should have left it to Carp Solutions.
We couldn't even tell her that we had put our own fish in there. It was just such a tragedy. So we kept it a secret from her. But now that I've outed myself on a podcast. Anyway, I can understand the impetus to want to free your goldfish is all I'm saying. All right. So now I have a beauty block, sisters, because, you know, we're all about beauty here at Satellites.
That's where we do a podcast. Right. Yes.
I mean, Liz revealed to us before the show she hadn't actually shampooed her hair in 2 weeks. So that's great. So
and we thought it looked good, didn't we, Liz? Yes.
We liked it. Yes. Wow, so much body. So
thank
much
you.
Okay. So today I'm going to bring you three beauty stories. I think it's summertime beauty. So we've got essential oils, we've got French manicures, and bare your legs. Okay. So the first story comes to us from the New York Times, and the headline really struck me. It says, essential oils may be wreaking havoc on your skin. All right. So raise your hand if you have fallen prey during the pandemic to just putting anything you find in your bathroom on your face. Has that happened to anyone?
Yes.
Like, I've had this for 4 years. Let's try it out. So, you know, and essential oils are things that somehow are in gift bags or you get friends give them to you or you know, it's a last minute purchase and you're reading a lot about them and you're like, yes, I should put tea tree oil over my whole body. I'm sure that will be a great idea. I'm here to tell you, please don't. According to Dr. Annie Gonzalez, a dermatologist in Miami, she's seen an uptick in essential oil reactions, calling them the leading cause of contact dermatitis.
Really?
And she said specifically, it's worsened because people are at home in the pandemic just experimenting with essential oils. They're just using undiluted forms of these oils to make their own products. And that is not a good idea. But it goes to that idea, like if someone thinks it's natural, it must be okay, right?
Yeah, right.
It must be fine. And dermatologists are here to tell you, no. You know, add a couple of drops or two to your candle while you're doing yoga or meditating. Do not take that same oil and rub it on your face. That is not a good idea. You know why, Julie and Liz?
Why?
Because it gets into the bloodstream.
Ugh.
And
right.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's all natural, what's the problem?
Yeah, it's not good because these are the common side effects. Redness, chemical burns, headaches, swelling, blisters. Oh, that's no good. All right. So just don't put it on your face. The citrus oils like lemon, orange, and bergamot are particularly dangerous because they can be phototoxic, meaning they react to UV light. So you're going to get skin, if you go out in the sun, that burns and blisters. Okay. But stay away from cinnamon bark, clove, lemongrass, oregano, peppermint, and jasmine oils. Okay. Just stay away.
I've been smearing a lot of oregano all over my face. Okay. Good tip. I'll stop doing that.
Leanne, I think you may have to make sure Sheila hears this. Because our sister Sheila seems like she would be a prime suspect for this. Yes.
Exactly, Jill. Okay. Moving on now to your nail care. Julie and Liz, you know the Dolan girls. We spend a lot of time on our manicures, don't we? I mean,
gloves. I wish Rothy's made gloves.
Yeah, we can put that in the product suggestion bin. I think collectively we have some of the worst hands in America. I would say that's true. You know, genetically, we did not inherit great looking hands. And then we also inherited our mother's propensity to use her hands a lot. So we wash our own dishes without gloves. We like clean things without gloves. We're out in the garden day and night. So we don't bother with a lot of complicated manicures. Is that fair to say? Julie, you had a short period where you had a lot of fake nails and that made us laugh. When was that?
It was when you first moved to California.
That's right. It was doing it up. California experience. Okay.
Okay. Oh, we mocked you quite a bit. Okay. Well, the French manicure is coming back and none of us can handle it, but maybe some of our listeners can. And here's why, because you need really long nails and you need to be into shaping your nails. Is that something you're interested in, Liz and Julie?
Who's got the time? Who's got the time for that?
So, but you know, the French manicure, the classic is just, it's like a pale pink nail with a white tip straight across. That's not happening anymore, you guys. You can paint those French manicures any colors you want, okay? They can be different colors on every nail. It can be orange and red and pink and blue and green on a single hand, all different color combinations. That line, it doesn't go straight across the top of your nail. It's slanting, it's dripping, it's jagged. It's exciting, you guys. I'm just here to say, for people who have nails, it must be great. Yes. I mean, I like seeing these photos. It's dramatic, but I can't imagine actually putting tiny little eyes right where my cuticles are. No thanks. Or tiger stripe tips. Ooh, what's that? It's
where's your sense of fun, Leon? Come on.
No, I think for other people. It's just not for me. But I applaud those of you who have made the commitment to these French nails. If you have them, I would love you to post a photo on Satellites at the Facebook group. It's at for Satellite Sisters, because I want to see what people are doing out there with, quote, nail art, which is not something we've ever really.
I admire it. I'm a little bit jealous of it.
Yeah.
Let's see some pictures of it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No, that's true. Natural selection has meant that we basically have hands designed for digging up potatoes, right?
I mean, I feel lucky I can get one color on some of my nails. They're so bad looking. I like when they say, what shape would you like? I was like, nail shape. It's just nothing to do with. Okay. Now, here's a fashion story, you guys.
Okay. Maybe we'll do better in this category because really.
Well, you might, because the source here is AARP. So I know when I'm looking for hot fashion tips, I go to ARP. I mean, that's where I go.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So it's a question of, I want to get some discounts on a hotel room and I want to know 10 ways women 50 plus can bare legs this summer. All right. Here are some of the not terrible tips. Okay. One not terrible tip, use leg makeup. Okay. Well, that's a lot of work, but all right, that exists. Or DIY self-tanner. I think we've all probably done that.
Yeah. We've had orange legs. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Here's another one that's not a terrible tip. Try a skort instead of a short. Okay. All right. I like skorts.
Yeah. Well, I'm very pro skort. Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. About 5 years ago, I decided I'm never wearing shorts again. So, which is why and I've embraced the skirt and the skort. Now, the problem with ARP is that they have decided they like shorts. Okay. Here are their tips that are going to make your legs great. Count on jean shorts. They want you to wear jorts. Okay. No one looks good in jorts. What?
Please. I mean, 17-year-olds look fantastic in jorts.
So cute. Again, this is 50 plus. Or how about stay classic and tailored Bermudas? Okay, Julie, you're our classic sister. Do you have any tailored Bermudas?
Oh, no, none. I'm not doing that. Not falling that trap. Okay.
Okay. No. You know, bike shorts are back. Have you seen that? That's you know, that's great. But they're saying, no, try sweat shorts. Oh, wow. That is not a good look.
That is a terrible idea.
Little shorts made out of sweatpants.
Yes. Okay. Oh. And then this is one that's going to be controversial when I say it, but I can't agree with this. Switch from ankle pants to capris. Does anybody but Audrey Hepburn look good in a capri? Anyone?
Well, okay. I enjoy the capri. I do.
Like it.
You do? Your question was, does anyone look good in it? That's a different question.
that is my question. I know people wear.
I'm not going to judge whether I look good in it.
I mean,
but I enjoy the capri.
Capri yoga tights. Those look pretty cute. I think. No.
Okay. All right. I said it was controversial. Not a fan of the capri look. Okay. But here's the one that really confused me. This is an article. Again, it's entitled 10 Ways Women 50 Plus Can Bare Legs This Summer. Number 10, choose a statement top.
So that's...
In other words, it's a distraction.
Distraction. A distraction.
Yes.
Okay. Wear whatever you want on the bottom, but just distract them. Thank like you, that. AARP.
Yes.
Great advice.
Maybe some big earrings, too. That could really help.
Statement necklace.
Okay. I think we can all agree that we don't need to be ashamed of our legs. I mean, they do a lot of work for us. Speaking
yes.
of someone who's been thinking about my legs very hard this year and how important they are. So I'm not afraid to show them. But the, yeah, the sweatshorts, not the way I'm going to go.
Yeah, yeah. Get a sexy dress or a skirt or just something. Do that for me, will you? Will that? All right. Thanks, AARP. Great fashion tips. All right. When we come back, we got entertaining sisters. But first, we want to thank a couple of sponsors for their support of Satellite Sisters.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right, sisters. What do we got going on here? Guess what? Next week is our Olympic show.
That sounds exciting, Leon.
We
should
have
some fanfare music, no doubt. Yeah.
I know.
But we don't have any.
We don't have any. But even better than that, though, we have an Olympian. We are so excited. Kat Holmes is going to be joining us. She is the daughter of a longtime Satellite Sisters listener. Her mom, Lori, did a fantastic job pitching her to us when I think it took us about 22 seconds to say, yes, we would love to talk to your wonderful daughter, who is a member of the U.S. fencing team. She was an Olympian in Rio and postponed her life plans to stay on track for Tokyo. Liz and I have already talked to her because she was en route to a foreign country, all the quarantining. It's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I can tell you she is a delight, and it is we are happy to have a fencer in the family with Kat.
Yes. Hall.
So fun.
My goodness. She deserves her own podcast, frankly. I mean, she's so much fun to talk to. You're going to love this interview.
Yeah. And it's just, so we're going to talk about all things Olympics. A lot of conversations have popped up in the Facebook group about the Olympics. Other people have second cousins going to the Olympics. That's great. If you have anybody you know going to the Olympics and competing, because those are the only people allowed to go to the Olympics this year, are the actual competitors, just let us know over at the Facebook group. But next week, it is our Olympic show. So we're excited to share our interview with Kat with you. And you can follow her on social media, and it will be great. She has the whole sisterhood rooting for her. And once you hear the interview, you're going to be genuinely rooting for her. She's a delight.
Okay.
I can't wait. That's good. But in the meantime, it's time for Entertaining Sisters. Now, Liz and Leon, I had high hopes this week to let you know about a new series on Netflix called Traitors. Have you seen that promoted?
Yeah.
Looked really good because it stars Keeley Hawes, Luke Treadway, Emma Appleton, all these highly attractive actors. It's a spy story, so you know I'm in, okay? Because
that is your genre.
That is. We spend a lot of time talking about spies in our household, so we were all in. And this is a story. The storyline seemed really appealing. It was a young woman, a highly attractive English woman, who agrees to help and become an American agent to root out Russian infiltration in the British government. Okay, so, you know, Russian infiltration, I'm all in on this. This is set in a post-World War II timeframe. So high hopes, it's only 6 episodes. Again, sounds ideal, okay? But here is the problem, okay? Let me just list off a quick list of the plot lines and themes that were included in this 6-part series called The Traitors, okay? Mm-hmm. Post-World War II socialist movement. So there's a lot about that. There's a lot about the Russian-British relations. There's U.S.-Russian relations, U.S.-British relations. There's a whole subplot about the creation of OSS, which is the precursor to the CIA. Then, of course, you have Kim Philby, who's the double agent. Mm-hmm. Then you have a whole storyline about the creation of the State of Israel. Mm-hmm. There is a strong storyline focused on racism, one on sexism, one on homophobia, one on British classism, one on the U.S. military industrial complex. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Seems like this series has it all. It's unmissable. Yes. It's unmissable. Is that what you're here to tell us?
Yes. It was too much. Okay. It's like the kitchen sink. Leon, they needed an editor. They needed a writer. Okay. They just thought they're going to throw it all in there and something will stick. We've got this good looking cast. Who doesn't love a spy story? And that, so it was really disappointing. I'm sorry to say, you know?
So wait, but you still watched all 6 episodes?
Of course we did. Well, that was my job, okay? I had to tell you, I feel obligated to the Satellite Sisterhood, okay? We do sisters every time, I know.
It's so interesting how to decide whether to abandon a show or not. I guess if it was 22 episodes, you would have abandoned it. But 6, you figure in for a dime, in for a dollar, as mom would say.
That's probably it. So I can't recommend Traitors. I think you will be somewhat disappointed if you and if I missed any of the themes or subplots, please let me know because there were a bunch. And it so okay. That's that.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Thanks for taking one for the team.
Okay. I want to recommend a podcast, but a short series within a podcast that I thought was very fun. So the podcast is called Sporkful, and this has been on forever. The host is a guy named Dan Pashman, who's very funny. And it's, you know, it's another food podcast, and there are many, many of them. I don't listen to most of them. However, Dan decided a couple of years ago that he wanted to create a new shape of pasta, that he felt like spaghetti was overrated. And because it didn't hold sauce very well, he just had a beef with spaghetti and a lot of the existing pastas. So he set out to create a new pasta shape. So this is a 5-part series within the Sporkful podcast that's called Mission Impossible. And it's more of a business story than a food story, really, which is why I'm recommending it. Like, how would you even go about starting this? Like, you want to invent a new pasta shape. And he had 3 things that he was looking for in his new pasta shape. And I thought this was very strategic on Dan Pashman's part. Number 1 was forkability. Could you really pick it up on your fork? You know, because a lot of pastas, they're just not forkable. So forkability, number 1. Number 2, sauceability. He felt like many pastas, but especially your spaghettis, linguinis, they just don't hold sauce very well. And people say bucatini holds the sauce, but he begs to differ. So you have your forkability, you have your sauceability, and then the last one was tooth sinkability. Does it really feel good to bite into? Tooth sinkability, again, he felt like spaghetti's just not that satisfying to bite into. And a lot of pastas, you know, once you get into your tortellini, okay, they're more tooth sinkable. But so forkability.
It's deep analysis, Liz, I'm telling you, right?
This is what made it interesting, Julie. Okay. And it's, you know, so it's five episodes of how you would actually go about doing this. How do you, who manufactures it? Where does the wheat come from? North Dakota, FYI, who knew? Anyway, so very, very fun five-part series on how to launch your own new shape of pasta. And then there is a follow-up episode on how well it worked. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but I will admit that I bought some and I cooked it this weekend, and I would rate it very high on forkability, sauceability, and tooth sinkability. And he named it Cascatelli. That's the name of this new shape. And I'm going to leave it to him to explain in the series, like how many different names they tried and all of that. So very fun to listen to. It's sportful, mission impossible. And then you get to make a meal after you're done with it. So I recommend it. It's more than just a podcast. So I recommend it.
Great, Liz. Okay, that's a good recommendation. All right, well, Julie requested that I recommend some titles from our Satellite Sisters Best Beach Bag Books list, for one for Julie and one for Liz. Okay, so there's that list is up at satellitesisters.com. It's on the blog, but we've spread the link around. There's, you know, quite a few, about 20 books there. There are also deeper recommendations, like if you like this book, try these books. So you can read all the mini reviews we have. You can click through and buy all the books at bookshop.org. So, but I wanted to recommend two of the titles for you guys each, as requested. Mm-hmm. All right. So Liz, the one I want to recommend for you is The Other Black Girl by mm-hmm. Zakiya Delilah Harris. Have you read this by any chance, Liz?
I have not read it yet, but I will admit when I retweeted the Best Beach Bag Book List and I tagged her, Zakiya yeah. Harris, and she liked our tag, Lee, and she liked the Satellite Sisters post about it. So I really owe her this. And it sounds really fun. Isn't it about like a publishing company in New York or something?
Yes. See, this yeah. is why I think you'd like it, because it's yeah. a workplace book.
Yes. Right.
And, you know, not enough fiction is actually set in workplaces. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Like when I finish this, it's a super clever story. It's about like the one black girl that works at an all white publishing house in New York. And all of a sudden one day, another black girl shows up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the author, Zakiya Delilah Harris, worked at an all-white publishing house in New York for 3 years. So she really nails all the details of the workplace and that experience. But then the plot takes off in a very clever way that you would not expect. So okay. it goes to unexpected places. I listened to the audiobook. I think the reading in the audiobook is great. So I really enjoyed this, and I think you would love it because it's workplace. And so mm-hmm. a lot of the dilemmas are workplace related
great.
In a good way. So okay. The Other Black Girl. Now, okay. Julie, for you, I also picked an audiobook. I know you don't listen to a lot of audiobooks, but this is specific. I think okay. if you and your granddaughter Alice are taking any road trips or uh-huh. any projects together, this would be a fun one for you guys to listen to. And this is The Cozy Mystery, Arsenic and Adobo by Mia Manansala. Okay. So, Julie, do you know what a cozy mystery is? That's a yeah. genre.
No, I don't, Liam.
So it's a mystery that doesn't have a lot of blood and gore.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Okay. Or bad language. It's like a PG-13 mystery. Okay. Oh, and that's a whole genre. And a lot of cozy mysteries also include food for some reason, or they're set in like bakeries or restaurants. That's so okay. because it's, they're sort of, you know, geared towards women who like dead bodies and baked goods, apparently. So, so Arsenic in Adobo is the first in a series by this writer, Mia. She is Filipino. So this is set in a Filipino restaurant. And okay. So okay. There is, but there's a lot of great relationships between her and the aunties and her best friends. And again, the reader, the narrator for the audiobook did a fantastic job. She's age appropriate. The heroine is like, you know, 27 or so, just coming back home after trying to get established in the big city and failing there. So it's just really kind of for a murder mystery, it's sort of warm and lovely and family oriented. So, and I think it would make a great listen if you were in the car with your teenager.
Okay.
Totally clean to listen to. And again, tons of delicious sounding food. So I'm in on that. And it's the first okay. in a series. So that title is Arsenic and Adobo. All right. So those are all at satellitesisters.com. Just click on the blog and you'll see all the books. But again, we continue to spread that link around. And thanks to everybody who's supported those books and those authors. We appreciate that.
That's great, Leanne, because the beach bag book season is really just beginning. So plenty of time to stock up.
Right. There's, yeah. And a lot of all, as I said, a lot of alternatives. There's the mm-hmm. list and then there's extra books that I, you know, that I mentioned. If you like this, try this. So there's a lot to like there. There's a lot to like. It's a good list. All right. First, we want to thank our engineer, Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. It's great to be back with you. And thanks for making us sound great. A big thanks to our graphic designer, Emily Loudermilk. You know, you guys in August were taking our hiatus, so we're pre-producing some shows. And one of the shows that we're working on is the 20th anniversary show. So that Zoom event that we did, we are going to create a podcast out of it. So yesterday I had to watch it again and do edit notes. And I forgot how delightful it was to see Sergio and Emily at the end of
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot of good material in that show. Anyway, that will be in August. We would like to thank our sponsors. Thanks to you for supporting our sponsors, because that's the way our show keeps going. So we appreciate it. All right, to-dos. Julie, what do you have? Birthday girl?
Well, birthday girl, do you ever buy yourself a birthday present, your own birthday
yes.
present?
Yes.
Sure. That is what I'm doing today, but because I feel like I am finally old enough for this. I am going to get a key ring, one of those big giant key rings. Maybe you've seen them all over the place, because I have literally spent weeks looking for my keys in the bottom of my purse. Okay. I know that now with big giant key ring, I am going to be able to learn a new language, perhaps take up making jam, or really master pickleball, because I have just had it. I just spent so much time rummaging in my purse that I'm going to get myself a big fat key ring for my birthday.
Okay. Ooh, happy birthday.
Wow. Woohoo!
Don't go too crazy.
All right. Well, I plan on enjoying the empty nest when it finally gets empty. My son, Colin, is going on a 10-day road trip. I can hear him right now outside packing the car. And I cannot wait. Then that's...
You love him.
I love him. We have a lovely relationship, but you know, those graduates of 2020 and you know, those college kids, they've been hanging around a little bit more than they should. And I'm happy that he's going off with a friend to the Southwest, and I'm going to re-enter the empty nest, and I'm looking forward to it. Oh, Liz, how about you? Nice.
Well, Hooper and I both need haircuts. That's, you know, we're kind of on the same cycle. And so I made his appointment at the groomer for Saturday. And now I just need to make my own. So by the end of the week, I'm hoping we'll both be cleaned up a little bit. That's, you know, that's just where we are. I've let things go super long for me. And as you mentioned earlier, I also haven't been shampooing a lot.
Sorry, Liz. Yeah.
It wasn't like a major decision. It's just because I'm back in the pool, I've been taking showers at the pool and I don't have my hair shampoo with me. Anyway, hair needs attention in my household. So that's what we're doing this week.
Okay. As long as Hooper's going to the groomers and you're going to the salon.
Yes. Yes. We have our hair cared for in entirely different establishments. Thank you, Julie, for helping me clarify that.
If Liz comes home with a bandana around her neck, we're going to know something went horribly wrong. All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.